A certain Samaritan being on his journey came near him, and seeing him was moved with compassion. Go and do thou in like manner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. To understand today's gospel, you have to understand a little bit of what it was like in those days between the Jews on the one hand and the Samaritans on the other. They were not friendly towards one another. They had different beliefs on religious topics. There was political hostility between them as well. And such things as the story I'm about to tell occurred as well. During the Maccabean Wars, many years before the birth of our Lord, the Jews in these wars destroyed the Samaritan temple and ravaged the territory. And then years later, around the time of our Lord's birth, the Samaritans, in turn, profaned the temple in Jerusalem by taking and scattering the bones of dead men all over their sanctuary. The hatred ran so deep that they would do such things as that. They did not, even as a rule, speak to one another. And that is why, as a side note, when our Lord came and met with the woman at the well, that is why she was so surprised that our Lord even asked anything of her. Because Jews and Samaritans, well, they never talked. And the Jews would not take water from them. And their councils, too, get this. Their councils did not condemn as a murderer a man who would kill a Samaritan. It was considered to be something perhaps good. And therefore, no one in those days would have blamed this Samaritan in today's gospel if he had just passed by and without helping the wounded, half-dead man by the roadside when he came to recognize him as a Jew. It would have just been old hat. And that's what you did in those days. But the good Samaritan rose above all of his feelings and all of his passions and everything else to perform the act of charity that he did, one of the works of mercy, taking care of the sick. And that is what I want to speak to you about today, the work of mercy of visiting the sick. Many of you already know, but one of my main obligations as a priest here at St. Gertrude's is to care for the sick and the elderly. And so on many days throughout the week, I'm in my car driving around here and there throughout Ohio, even as far as into Illinois, to bring the sacraments, Holy Communion, confession, extreme unction to those who need it. And then hopefully also to console the sick, because God knows how much they have to suffer. But I'm always edified by their behavior. They say that if you want to know how holy a man is, watch him when he's in his sick bed, and you'll have your answer. And the more patient they are, the more virtuous you can truly say that they are. But if they're always moaning and groaning and impatient, well, then it's a little bit different, and perhaps they have a little more to work on. But in any case, I was always struck by this one elderly woman that I visit down in northern Kentucky. And every time that I ask, well, how are you doing? Her answer is always the same. It never changes. She says to me that, well, I can't complain because God's been good to me. What a simple yet profound answer. And so many of the other people do the same. And by their wise little comments like that, truly do edify. And their anecdotes, too, how they found the religion. And some will speak about what they last read in their spiritual books and all of the rest. It's a beautiful thing to visit the sick. But I find that it's very sad, too, that so many of them have no one but a priest to come and see them. Many of them have no family anymore. They're elderly themselves, and they're the last surviving in their family. I think of Paul Lurk on that one. You can read about him in the bulletin. Or their families have gotten lost up in the Novus Ordo world, or maybe their family has just fallen away from Catholicism. And in some cases, even if their children are trans, these sick people are totally neglected by their children, almost just put in a home and forgotten about. All the nurses will take care of them and the doctors will see them. And that's not always the case either. How many times I've been in a nursing home where it's like pulling teeth to get someone to come in and take care of the patient in a timely manner. Yet, these sick people must endure it all. And most of the time, they must endure it with no human companionship. They have, in other words, to put it in gospel terms, they have no good Samaritan to come and pour the wine of charity into their aching wounds. So maybe today, you might begin considering being someone's good Samaritan. This work of mercy, the visitation of the sick, is regarded highly by God. Even in the Old Testament, he was telling people to go and do this. It says in the book of Ecclesiasticus, and remember, this is the Holy Ghost speaking, "Be not slow to visit the sick, for by these things thou shalt be confirmed in love." And one writer explained that. He said that not only does the visitation of the sick give us, the one who goes to do the visit, an occasion to perform an act of charity and thereby gain merit for our souls and our eternal salvation, but also to raise our place for all eternity in heaven. Our place gets higher and higher by each meritorious act. But at the same time it does that for us, for the other person, it obtains for us the love of our fellow man. If you ever want to win someone, their heart, visit them while they're sick. Show that you care, and they will never forget it. Now, in the New Testament, our blessed Lord taught us, not only by his words, but by his example, how much he loved to visit the sick, and that we ought to as well. The gospel says, "He went about doing good to all, but the sick were especially the objects of his compassion." In the Gospel of St. Mark it says, "And whithersoever he entered, into towns or into villages or cities, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch but the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole." In fact, most of our Lord's miracles were done for whom? For the sick. When you stop and think how many miracles he worked on behalf of the sick. And this was done to incite us to a greater charity and love toward the sick. "This is my commandment," our Lord says, "that you love one another as I have loved you." In other words, his charity, his love, is the measuring stick of ours. And a lot of times ours measures quite short. We must love whatever it is that God loves, and we must love whomsoever God loves. But he loves the sick and cares for them, as can be seen in the Gospels. Therefore, we must show charity and love toward the sick. Yet sometimes, because this thought of visiting the sick in modern society, this thought has become so foreign to us that we, if any of us do, there are very few of us who do, and more who do it much less than they should. But the saints always understood our Lord's love for the sick, and they put it into practice. You can pick up almost any saint's book, and you'll see how he or she helped the sick. I think right off the top of my head of St. Camillus of Lellis, who's a patron saint of nurses, or St. Catherine of Siena, or St. Charles Borromeo. St. Francis of Assisi was known to have taken care of the sick. But I think more than any of them is the story of St. John of God, whose feast I believe is in February. Well, one day St. John of God found a dying man lying in the street. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, compared to today's gospel? Well, St. John of God saw this man and gently lifted him up on his shoulders and carried him to his hospital. St. John had already established some sort of a hospital for the poor or sick, and he laid him there in a good bed and washed his feet. Now, while he bent over to devoutly kiss the sick man's feet, he noticed something. It was a brilliant, uncommon, most beautiful light that shone in the room. And as he looked up, he saw no more the sick man. He saw our blessed Lord himself, who began to speak. And he said, "John, charity which is exercised towards the poor is done to me. I stretch out my hand to receive the alms that are given. I am clothed with the garments which are bestowed on the poor. And it is my feet you wash each time you render this loving service to a poor person." This filled the saint with such heavenly joy that from then on, he dedicated his whole entire life to the poor, but particularly to the sick people among the poor, so that his hospital was filled. A number of patients in his hospital of every age and everything else, afflicted with all sorts of disorders, from mental disorders to physical, no matter how infectious or contagious the malady might be, he allowed them to his hospital. And as much as he was occupied, it was often late at night when he returned to the hospital, and however tired he would be, he did not go to bed himself before he had visited each last one of his patients and inquiring if anything was required by them, such as food or anything else. But then there's the one miraculous story that you've probably heard about if you've heard Bishop Dolan's sermons. Well, on one great feast day, I'm not sure which it was, but a fire broke out in the hospital and spread very quickly so that it already got to the top floors and there was no hope of saving the hospital. The whole town came and they surrounded the hospital, thinking there's nothing left to be done. And all of a sudden, St. John of God, so in love with his sick people, he forced his way through all of the smoke and the fire, and he carried out one by one all of the invalids, and then he hurried back to save the beds and the furniture and throwing them out of the windows and the doors. And then he got to a certain point and everyone said they could see him. He was engulfed in flames, and for about 30 minutes, I think it was, he remained wrapped in those flames, yet he was untouched. He was unburned. And this event was a miracle, of course, but it shows what he would have gone through to help his sick. Now, our Lord says the same to each of us as he did to St. John of God. Charity, which is exercised towards them, is done to me. Now, isn't that enough when you contemplate it? Isn't that enough of a motive to make you want to get up and visit your sick? What can you do, practically speaking, to visit the sick? Well, number one, don't let the thought of it seem too overwhelming or too uncomfortable. Maybe you're the quiet type that doesn't like to talk, that shies away from company or doing new things. Many of us are, but it doesn't have to make you feel uncomfortable. I'll tell you why. And you don't have to feel overwhelmed either. There's no need for long visits or you have to be chatting the whole time. No. Remember, the elderly especially will love the visit. Remember, they're lonely. Just to have someone to come in and say one sweet word, or just to sit down and listen to them while they talk and give you their woes or the things that they like to do. There's no need to go and stay a long time. Sometimes the short visits are the most efficacious, and oftentimes the health of the sick person doesn't permit long visits. But just always keep it simple. Just smile sweetly when you go in and say hello and see where it goes. That's the first thing to remember if you wish to do sick calls, which I highly encourage. But then secondly, at some point in your visit, before you go, elevate the conversation. Encourage them, for example, to be patient on their sick beds, to look forward to a better life, and to unite their sufferings with the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and then carry them to Calvary. In that way you will merit for salvation. And then thirdly, a good way, because it's always hard to find a segue from hello, how are you, to let's think about heaven now. Well, the easiest way, the most practical way, is bring a green scapular, or a brown, or a rosary, or an image of a saint, maybe the bulletin, and just present it to them and start talking about it. And then the conversation develops, and before you know it, you might have someone interested in learning more. And that's when we priests could show up on the scene. And it does happen, and has happened, in just that way. And the last word is to the kids in the parish, though. What about the kids who can't get out, can't drive anywhere to go and visit the sick? Well, ask mom and dad to look up in the phone book, if those things even exist anymore, I don't know, with all the cell phones, but in any case, look it up, or have them get online and look for it, for the nearest nursing home. And just write a letter in to one of the sick people there, a letter just to say hello, something to brighten their day. But never forget, do not ever stay on the natural level with them. Raise it up to the supernatural. Send them a sacramental, a medal, an image of a saint or a scapular, something like that. But I conclude by saying this, that we trads, we're all pretty good, I would say, by the grace of God, when it comes to holding our faith, because we've done it to the point that many of us have lost family and friends. But charity, that's the virtue where sometimes we are lacking. You might consider giving the works of mercy a shot, won't you? It's a good way to make reparation for past sins against charity. Visit the sick. It's not that hard. And you'll find that it actually, in turn, will help you, especially if you are having a bad day. But in any case, you never know. You might be someone's good Samaritan today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.